Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
We are back on Youth Sports Now, and it is time for the Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training segment, and our good friend Mike Naparella is with us. Mike, you know, we just heard everything from Catherine Snedeker from Pink Concussions and the fact that, there's so many concussions that are taking place amongst the female athletes. But one of the things that she spoke of multiple times is it sounded like she was speaking out of your playbook, which is the whole idea of athletic trainers for high school sports. So I thought we'd start there today and ask you, you know, what if the school that your athlete goes to, what if they don't have an athletic trainer at all the games?
Well, that's a really important point. It's a great question. So certainly some schools don't have athletic trainers. The other issue is that when you're away, oftentimes your athletic trainer, if you have one, isn't necessarily traveling with the team. It depends on, you know, how risky the sport is and what the school schedule is between both male and female sports, and then what are the highest risk sports that they may want a trainer to travel with. So your school may not have a trainer, but maybe the school that you're playing at may have an athletic trainer. And then the big question I think a listener had called in as well or emailed in a question was, you know, what if your school doesn't have a trainer in general, not necessarily related to concussions specifically, but just in general. And I think that's where we get into that issue of, you know, that window of time where someone's got to decide whether or not they're going to seek formal care. Am I going to get a skilled professional to take a look at this? Or are we going to sort of wait on it on our own and take our chances and see if things are going to get better and go away or not?
So Mike, you've got this, an athletic event going on, whether it be a practice or whether it be an actual game, and there isn't an athletic trainer available or at the game. You know, as we know, sometimes these athletes are going to get injured, and whether, you know, the athletic trainer isn't there or there isn't one, there may not be anybody skilled enough to help the athlete, and the parents make a decision about what the next step is. So does everybody need to go to an urgent care center or the emergency department after an injury, whether it be at practice or a game?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, anytime, Greg, that someone feels, whether it's the athlete themselves or a coach or certainly a parent, if there's any obvious visible deformity, if they're able to put absolutely no weight on the limb, if it's a lower extremity injury, certainly if there's an appearance that something is what we call dislocated, where something's out of place and the alignment looks like it's off, or if there's such pain that the concern might be that there could be a fracture of the bone, those things are more urgent things, and absolutely, that athlete needs to get to either an urgent care center or maybe the emergency department of the hospital. I think the bigger challenge is that the great majority of injuries certainly aren't that serious. And once it's given a little bit of time to settle down, very often the athlete can walk on it, but they can't play. They can move their arm, but they can't necessarily throw the ball hard or tackle somebody. And then the question becomes, what do we do now? So, you know, we brought this up last week on the show, Greg, and certainly want to remind the listeners out there again that because of this demand that we have for parents and athletes and coaches looking for some solution when, for example, if you're in a high school, maybe you can't get access to your athletic trainer. Maybe your schedules don't jive. Maybe you're an athlete who is in junior high and there's no athletic trainer at your school. Maybe you're in a recreational league or a travel program somewhere and there just is nobody. What do you do then? You know, some parents will tell us they're frustrated that they don't want to wait so long to go to the emergency room, for example, and wait for 4, 5, 6 hours to find out it was a simple sprain. And then they're oftentimes told to go back to their doctor anyways, and they've got to make a second visit, which may take another week or days, and so we're delaying their care. And so what we've done, Greg, is we've opened up the opportunity for athletes at grade school and high school and even college level for what we call our sports injury screening visit. And what that's going to be, or what that is about maybe a 15-minute quick screening visit, but it gives athletes an opportunity for a very low fee. It's a $25 fee to come in, get a quick screening by a skilled physical therapist that can then help them point them in the right direction. you know, some of these athletes, they may need to go get films, and they didn't think they did, but we may have a real concern that there could be a fracture, and then we're going to want them to, you know, either see their physician or maybe go to an orthopedic urgent care or go to the hospital to get looked at rather than waiting it out. Other athletes, once you get that skilled assessment, may be able to just wait on it for a few days, rest it, ice it, stay off of it, you know, let it settle down a bit. Others may benefit from a few simple exercises or may be able to go back and then follow up with their athletic trainer the next day or a few days later, and they may not need to engage literally formal care. But at least it gives them a professional's opinion versus, you know, maybe a coach who's not trained or someone maybe in the family or they know a friend who maybe is a nurse or is a fitness trainer, someone who's sort of involved in healthcare, but not necessarily skilled at doing an orthopedic examination. And that way we can help direct them on to see a specialist if need be. But again, we know that most of these people, you know, don't have fractures, but they need guidance to know whether or not it makes sense to get those films or not.
So, Mike, you and I were talking a couple of times last week off the show, and you were telling me about this sports injury screening visit, which I think is, you know, a wonderful opportunity for so many athletes and their families out there, is to simply make a phone call and contact Peak Performance and get in there to see what the situation is with any possible sports injury. So the screening visit is great. But, you know, I also know that the reason you can do that now is some addition to your staff. Let's talk about your staff and the fact that you've got these young, vibrant physical therapists who can really relate to the athletes out there.
Absolutely. You know, we're really, really proud of our staff. The therapist who's been with us the longest, who's full-time, is Mike Galisano. He actually graduated from McQuaid. He went to St. Francis College in Pennsylvania and played Division I soccer there and got his doctorate in physical therapy, and he's been with us for over 5 years now, and he's an excellent physical therapist, really has a heart for these kids. He sees a lot of the young athletes that we see here, and they really connect well with him, especially because he played sports at that level. And he's really skilled, and he also has that fellowship of applied functional science, that specialty training in functional biomechanics that I have as well. We also have my wife, Karen, here, who's part-time. She's also an athletic trainer. And she also has a certification in that applied functional science program and approach. Now, what we're really excited about as well is our newest addition, Erin Borsick. She actually used to be an employee of ours on the office side, and after she got her physical therapy degree and spent a few years at another clinic in the Rochester area, recently came and joined us a few weeks ago. And she, again, is another awesome young talent, and we're really excited to have her. She's really picking up a lot about the functional biomechanical approach and problem solving, brings with her a great skill set. In fact, where she used to work, she actually was one of the lead people doing the same sort of a visit in terms of a sports injury screening. So we're really happy to have her, and she right now has some room on her schedule that we actually can offer these sort of visits even every day, which we don't know if we'll be able to keep up with that as time goes. But I certainly want to encourage athletes and their parents and coaches out there who are looking for a little bit of help and don't know where to turn, don't necessarily want to wait hours in the emergency room or potentially wait days to see their physician, that we can help that decision-making. The good news is that we're part of the standard medical model. We understand the value and the need for physicians. We understand the value and need for x-rays and other testing and workups, and we're part of that process already. So we're not trying to hinder that process or make this an either-or, but to just help get them some sort of skilled knowledge so that these athletes aren't sitting there for days or potentially weeks, and even hours if it's a really acute injury. And we can get a quick hold on them not really knowing what to do, or even worse, Greg, you know, oftentimes they'll make the wrong choice and they've been advised by someone with well intentions but really maybe no professional background, and that advice may not have been good advice, and we certainly just want to make sure we can help steer them in the right direction. And that's why it's not intended to be a full problem-solving evaluation, but just sort of a quick screening to give them some idea what the right next step would be. So, yeah, we're really excited about our staff, and Erin being here certainly has allowed us to be able to to increase our availability for offering this sort of sports injury screen.
Mike, just do our listeners a favor. I know that they'll hear the spots that you run, but you know, if a parent, coach, administrator, even an athlete, if they want to come in for a sports injury screening visit, what's the phone number at Peak Performance and how can they do it?
Well, they're going to give us a call at 218-0240. And we really like our location. We're in East Rochester, but we're really literally a mile off of the East Rochester exit on 490. So even for people on the other side of town coming across 490 from Brighton, even from the south side of Greece, people coming from Webster, and certainly from Fairport and Penfield and Pittsford, and obviously in our own East Rochester community, it's really a very quick drive. It's within 15 or 20 minutes of a lot of the main areas of Rochester. And so we're here for people if they want to have that sort of visit, and they give us a call at 218-0240. We'd be happy to try and get them in and help them out. And certainly if people are looking for more information about just our business and the staff that we have here and the way we approach things, they can look us up at www.peakptrochester.com. And there's a lot of information and links to the staff bios on the site there, and they can learn a little bit more about what we're doing.
That's great. And, you know, as someone who has known Mike for a while now and doing this radio show with him and knowing his staff, and actually had Mike Golisano out at the Penfield Little League Complex doing some stuff with the kids, I think that, you know, this is more than just the radio show. It's certainly an endorsement on my part where, you know, these folks at Peak Performance really understand the biomechanics and they understand the body and they understand our young athletes. And it's just a wonderful resource within the Rochester community. So definitely our listeners, please call for that sports injury screening visit. Mike, you know, one of the things that Catherine Snedeker from Pink Concussions discussed with us in our first segment was just the importance of education, and whether it's on concussions or whether it's on safety and injuries, it's education. And it actually brings up a question that one of our listeners has, and I'm going to categorize it under education because I think it really it goes to the heart of what you do on both levels. So I'll let the listener ask the question. But how does sports training differ from physical therapy that you do at Peak Performance?
I really love that question because really, you know, there can be a really distinct line, but then there also can be a very big gray line there. And here's why I say that. Physical therapy is obviously first and foremost thought of as something that is a sort of healing profession. It's to take care of people who are injured. And that's one of the things that our State Practice Act and licensing allows for. And so obviously when people get injured, if they break a bone, they have a sprain, they have a surgery, physical therapists are trained be able to help them through that recovery process, whether it be with hands-on techniques or whether it be exercise techniques or use of machines like ultrasound and electric stim or use of taping techniques. And so we're taking care of people who are less than, who want to get back to their normal. But both when someone is near the ending stages of their physical therapy, if that person has aspirations to go back to highly demanding work activities or demanding athletic activities, whether it's just getting back to phys ed class and whether it's being on a recreational sport team or whether it's really competing at a school team level or a travel team level that's a little bit more intense. The physical therapy sessions that we do start to blend into including some of the things that actually are used in the sports training side. Now, on the sports training side, certainly we're taking people who are already sort of there. They're living a fairly normal life. They really don't have any injuries or problems, and they're trying to get to more than, right? They're not just participating in normal day-to-day life. They're trying to excel, and those programs we think of as more as performance enhancement and injury prevention, right? Physical therapy is often thought of as injury care. But we're also, as physical therapists, allowed to do sort of performance and prevention programs as well to try to minimize the chance that people get hurt. And it's interesting, as the healthcare arena changes over time, we're hearing more and more on the national scene in the U.S., at least, and even across the world, Greg, about the idea of preventive care, preventive services. And so on the athletic side, you know, the sports training programs certainly are working on performance enhancement, but we're really attentive to what are the key injuries that someone might get in volleyball, for example, or what they might get in basketball. And part of the program isn't just, you know, helping them to be quicker with their cutting or help them change direction or jump higher. But we're also thinking about how can we reduce the chance of that ankle sprain, or in the volleyball athlete, how can we reduce the chance of a rotator cuff strain or tendonitis or instability at that shoulder, some of the common injuries that happen. So it's an interesting question. There are some similarities between them, particularly when physical therapy is ending. But there's a really strong distinction in that the sports training side is very much higher, much more intensive training than we could ever start an injured athlete with in the beginning of a PT program.
Mike, you know, it's still under the category of education as we wrap up this segment of peak performance physical therapy and sports training. One of the things that, again, a listener has sent in, and I think it's a good information, is what are some of the activities or exercises that kids can do that don't necessarily relate to the sports they play, but they're just good for them? It's healthy. It's good to do.
Yeah, you know, I think oftentimes we can get caught in doing the same thing. You know, if a kid loves volleyball, they end up playing volleyball year-round. If they love hockey, they're playing hockey. If they like to shoot hoops, they're playing hoops. And then, so sometimes we get caught into the sameness, and our body sort of gets into a monotony. And as kids are in these developing ages of, let's say, in their, you know, 6 and 8 year olds, even up into the teens, the nervous system is developing as well. And so this idea of the neuromuscular system and coordination and agility, those are key points in the time of a developing person where we can really improve their ability to perform and to succeed and to be successful, just not in terms of, you know, excelling so they can be a Division I athlete, but more just being successful that they can be out there and enjoy themselves and not feel clumsy and have difficulty. And I think so, as we've talked before, Greg, the idea of having some variety in the things that you do is a good thing, but some unusual things that people can do that may be out of the ordinary but would be things that would stimulate our nervous system and our body physically to do things differently. Number one is some hand-eye coordination activities. You know, you could take a tennis or baseball or golf where you might be dealing with a piece of equipment and hand-eye coordination challenges of maybe I would shoot hoops with a tennis ball, fool around and make games with things like that. You know, maybe you would you just use a different size ball. Maybe instead of kicking a soccer ball, I might lightly knock around a basketball. Or maybe I'd shoot hoops with a softball. Maybe I would, you know, do something like put a garbage can out in the driveway and do a hand-eye coordination thing where, you know, I'm going to take a heavier ball, like a basketball, and I'm going to take a lighter thing, like a tennis ball, and use my non-dominant hand to see if I can toss it and get it into the garbage can. So really challenging the system in terms of distances and weights and how does your motor performance change as you attempt to get both a tennis ball, which is very small and very light, and then a basketball, which is a little bit heavier and larger. How do I get those from the same 5-foot distance or even a 10-foot distance to drop into the garbage can? And so we're challenging a young athlete's nervous system to do things that are sort of out of the ordinary, but then can go back and be applied to their sport. The other thing is just to play something that you're not playing. You know, oftentimes we all tend to gravitate toward things we're good at, but our nervous system is still very adaptable and can learn. And so if we challenge ourselves to go do an activity that maybe we don't like as much or maybe we're not as good at, but we practice and play with it a little bit, that new stimulus then lays down the network of those neurologic tissues, those nerve fibers, to develop new levels of coordination and motor firing and creates new patterns that then can go back and be applied in our sport. And the other thing would just be doing things with the other side. You think you take an athlete who likes to kick the soccer ball with their right foot a lot, and they rarely kick with their left. Start working with your left hand. An athlete who likes to throw with their right hand, well, whoever throws with their left hand. But if you take an athlete and begin doing the mirror image with them and have them practice throwing with their left hand, even though it's very awkward at first, very frequently they'll develop a comfort level with it, and then they'll actually feel like the other side can now perform. So I think a lot of body weight activities, going out and playing at the playground, playing other sports that you're not familiar with, and even doing some of those odd games that I just mentioned would be great things that almost any athlete could benefit from. And a lot of it's just to train the nervous system. It's not to, like, can I go to the gym and come up with a new exercise? It's a great exercise to strengthen me. I'm not thinking of it that way so much as what we've used before, that word proprioception, related to the nervous system and how our body perceives motion, how it flows through motion, how familiar and common and easy motions can be. And that's a great way to start. And they're low load activities. The risks are very low. And they can be made games out of, so they're very fun.
Great. Well, Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training, he may have just invented a new sport with a tennis ball and a garbage pail out in your backyard, but it's certainly good for you. It's good exercise, and it's something different to do. And so, Mike, thanks for everything, and we will have you on again next week during your regular segment, Your Peak Performance. And don't forget to give Mike a call for the sports injury screening visit at Peak Performance. It's really something that is a great benefit to our listeners here at U Sports Now. When we come back, I'll have a final thought from my dugout.